This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Stuffed Milk, the show where we stuff things into other things and get stuffed.
Yeah.
And today we're talking about
stuffed foods.
Yes. No, wait. We renamed the show. The show is now called Stuffed You Should Know. Right?
Stuffed Your Mother Never Told You.
Yeah, so this was a suggestion that we got at our live show, which if you haven't listened to it yet, it's out there.
Mm-hmm. And it was our most fun live show ever.
I mean, it was the most fun for us, and that's what's really important.
I won't say it was the most fun I've ever had, but it was the most fun I've ever had with you. Well, in at least a year or so.
What happened last year?
I don't know. I'm just thinking about
our corporate retreat last year. That was really fun in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, we drank cocktails and quizzed each other on Jeopardy questions.
Yeah, and we did pretty well. We all became huge Jeopardy champions.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah, especially not you.
Right. So this
I didn't mean to rub it in. No,
it's
you
fine.
Did really well. You were up against an absolutely unbeatable candidate.
Yeah, yes.
Candidate. I mean, contestant.
And he won the election. Now he's the president of Jeopardy.
Anyway.
Okay, so the person, and we don't know who it is, but if this was you, thank you, wrote and put into our hat or fishbowl, peppers/mushrooms/tomatoes, stuffed foods.
Is that what it said verbatim?
I think so. I didn't really put anything on the agenda about stuffed tomatoes because I doesn't sound like something I would like, and I don't know anything about it.
Oh, actually, I do.
Okay.
Hold on, I'm going to make a note to myself.
Is a stuffed tomato like that French guy made arpège?
Oh, he's done lots of things with vegetables.
Okay.
Probably. Okay, wait, but let's do memory lane.
Okay, so wait, first of all, before we do memory lane, like I arbitrarily decided that how I would interpret this episode, and I was the person in charge of researching this episode, is that it's about foods that start with the word stuffed.
Oh, okay. I wondered.
Yeah. So like ravioli, yeah, that's a stuffed food, but you don't call it stuffed ravioli, so it is out.
Okay. Okay.
But like stuffed cabbage, yes. Stuffed tomatoes, sure. Stuffed mushrooms.
Stuffed peppers.
Stuffed peppers. Stuffed crust pizza.
Okay.
When Molly came over, I pulled this stuffed crust pizza out of the freezer and did not explain that this was related to the episode. I assume you assumed it was, but maybe not, now that I think of it.
Well, and I was drinking some water, so I just gave you a peace sign, because that's
right.
How you always respond to somebody pulling a pizza out of the freezer. You're like, peace, man. Yes.
But what I said was, should I make this pizza? Because we were also having stuffed shells, and you just like kept flashing me this peace sign, and I still don't know whether you're expecting pizza or not. It's really added like a frisson
sure
of
either.
Tension.
Ooh, frisson.
Yeah.
Okay, memory lane.
Okay, I don't really remember eating any of the things that I classified as stuffed foods as a kid.
Me neither.
Like maybe a stuffed pepper once.
I also think that, you know, so our longtime listeners will know that, you know, some of my mother's like 1980s and 1990s food snobbery has occasionally has occasionally come up in the show. I think that my mom, like, you know, if she were throwing a party or something where you would need to have canapes,
yeah,
she would never have done a stuffed mushroom. A stuffed mushroom was like too retro.
Have you ever realized that this is not like strictly true, but almost, you can't spell jackanapes without canapes? I think we did a canapes episode.
What are jackanapes?
I think jackanapes are like misadventures.
Really?
What's the word I'm looking for? Like silliness.
Huh, I've never heard this word before. Are you sure you're pronouncing it right? Are you sure it
pretty
isn't like
sure.
Jackanapes?
It's jackanapes. It's pronounced jackalope.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, here's the deal.
So your mom would make canapes.
Canapes. You know, my mom was on like a lot of boards and things, and mm-hmm. she like helped organize fundraisers where there would be like canapes and like past hors d'oeuvres.
Oh, was she like on the board of the Oklahoma Canapé Society?
Anyway, but my mother never would have done something like stuffed mushrooms because that was just too retro. It was too like just.
Yeah, it was retro even then.
It was retro even then. I feel like now it's fully come around.
The word I was trying to think of is antics. I think jackanapes are like antics.
Okay, great. I'm glad you got there. Anyway, so I did not grow up with stuffed mushrooms, stuffed peppers, stuffed tomatoes, stuffed shells. I think if I had grown up in, you know, I wonder if Brandon did, because I think of some of these things as being very Italian American. I'm pretty sure he grew up with stuffed shells, mm-hmm. maybe some stuffed peppers. Okay. That seems like a real vegetarian thing in the 80s and 90s.
And I did have stuffed shells as a kid for sure.
Oh.
So I lied. Everything I've said up to this point has been an absolute lie. It's just one of my antics. I'm up to my...
You're up to your jackalopes.
You know what? I would love to say to someone, like, genuinely, like, sometime in my life, I am sick and tired of your antics. And I am a dad, so it seems like
yeah,
I should
I
be able
say,
to say that.
This seems like something one says to their teenager.
But I think I would start laughing before I got to the word antics, and it would take all the punch out of the line.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, tell me about the stuffed shells of your youth.
So I'm pretty sure they were very similar to the ones that I made for us this morning in the sense that they're like big pasta shells stuffed with a like ricotta mixture that probably has an egg in it and some parmesan and some kind of parsley or basil or both.
And would they have had a meat sauce or a marinara?
I don't remember for sure as a kid. Like either one makes sense to me.
Okay.
I did marinara today.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk more about stuffed shells
oh,
in a minute.
Sure.
So, because I recently made them for the first time before we even discussed doing this episode.
Do you think it was a premonition?
I think it was. I think it was. My jackalope ears were twitching.
Wait, but jackalopes aren't really known for their ears, but for their antlers. Can you hear through your antlers?
Wait a minute, I thought jackalopes were the things that were like large bunnies.
Oh, yeah. I guess they're bunnies with antlers, right?
We've got to look this up.
We do have to look this up.
Okay, pause.
Okay.
Look it up. Bunnies with antlers? Does
yes.
that exist?
No, it's a made-up thing. The jackalope is a mythical animal of North American folklore.
I thought it was real.
This is Wikipedia. It's a mythical animal of North American folklore, in parentheses, a fearsome critter, described as a jackrabbit with antelope horns.
Wait a minute, I thought that it was real.
It's very much not real.
Let me see.
But you can buy a fake taxidermy jackalope at some dumb jackalope store.
Oh, okay, I get it now. A jackrabbit with antelope mm-hmm. horns.
Yeah, it's like it's a portmanteau animal.
Portmanteau.
It's like a the fucking good thing it was Sharknado, which is not two animals. But like the sci-fi channel, like Croctopus? No, that's a thing from Donkey Kong. Molly, please save me.
Did you know that the Wyoming legislature has considered bills to make the jackalope the state's official mythological creature?
Wait, I think it's a good idea.
Do most states have mythological creatures?
Definitely.
Would that be Washington State Sasquatch?
Sasquatch, yeah. Alaska, Yeti. California. Okay, well, New Jersey, the Jersey Devil.
I've never heard of that.
It's a thing. California. I feel like
the surfer.
The a surfer. Like, you've never, you know, there are fuzzy photos, but like, there's always lots of spray for the waves like, and stuff. And
we're just lots of hair.
We're not exactly. We're not sure whether the surfer is real. The bank robbing surfer.
Okay. Anyway, all right. Okay. Well, I'm learning so much on this show already.
Me too.
Let's talk about stuffed foods.
Okay. How about stuffed peppers?
Never had them. Never. Oh, I've had them. Do you know where I've had them?
Now who's lying?
I think I feel pretty sure that I had stuffed peppers in like my high school cafeteria.
Yeah, that sounds like where you'd find them. They can be stuffed with like ground meat, usually like tomatoes.
Also sometimes
rice. Sometimes.
Yeah, rice.
Yeah.
I was thinking like people like to get excited and throw wild rice in there sometimes, I think.
They like to get wild.
Yeah. Anyway.
Can I share a pet peeve?
Sure.
Sometimes people will say, and like, I feel like this started in one place and has been copied and pasted around like a meme that, you know, wild rice isn't really a rice. It's an aquatic grass. Right? Have you ever heard someone say
those
this?
Those are sea beans.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's true, but rice is also an aquatic grass. So get over yourself. That's my rant.
Wow. That was fiery. Mm-hmm. Wow, it's going to take me a minute to digest that.
Right. First of all,
I've never actually seen rice growing. I've seen lots of pictures of rice patties.
You've seen rice growing in Japan.
Yeah, that's like riding by a rice paddy on a train at high speed. Like, I don't have any concept of what form it is when it comes out of the ground.
I mean, it's a grass.
And then where's the rice on it?
It's
the kernel. Where's the kernel?
I mean, it's the seeds. Like, so, you know, when lawn grass like overgrows and gets like the inflorescence at the top.
Yes.
Like that's where the rice would be on the rice plant.
Okay.
And you like shake it out, I think.
Okay.
Oh boy. Now I'm getting in trouble.
I wish that you had said infructescence instead of inflorescence because I love the idea of like a lawn covered in grass that's fruiting. Like imagine what it would be like to just like sort of get down on your belly and mow it with your face and eat the fruit.
I mean, grass does fruit. It's just like a really like tiny, I was going to say insignificant, but like, why am I picking on grass now?
I was going to say inconsequential.
Yeah,
so
tiny,
I was going to pick
inconsequential
on it.
Fruit.
Okay. Anyway, Matthew, so...
It's probably an akeen.
So, hold on, wait a minute. Now that I think about it, also, stuffed peppers, I mean, there are many cuisines in which stuffed peppers show up.
I know.
I mean, for one thing, let's talk about chili rellenos. What am I thinking? I've eaten chili rellenos.
Yes, that's a stuff... I had this exact same process. I'm so glad you're going through what I went through a couple days ago when I was researching for the agenda.
Oh, my God, peppers stuffed with salt cod.
Yes, yeah, like Spanish stuff.
Yes!
Yes, delicious, like piquillo peppers.
I'm an idiot.
No.
Well, I did
the same thing. I heard stuffed peppers. I pictured like Midwestern American style stuffed peppers. And then I was like, wait, no, there's more. You know what?
This is very white American of us.
I didn't even have the epiphany on my own. I went to the Wikipedia page for stuffed peppers and then started reading. And then I was like, oh. And then I clicked through to the jackalope article and I was like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still trying to get over the fact that I thought jackalopes were real until a couple minutes ago.
I mean,
so.
I don't want to, like, if you believe in your heart, then they're real to you.
June told me that she believes that unicorns and fairies are real. And I was like, more power to ya. Hang on to that.
Teenager,
hang on to it.
Teenager of the show, Iris, like, when they were like, young, got this electronic diary thing. Not electronic diary, but a diary that when you opened it would make a sound.
Okay.
Like one of these stupid battery-powered kid things.
Yeah.
And it was like a fairy-themed diary. And when you opened it, it made like kind of like a bell glissando, like the turn the page sound from a book. Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. And every time Iris opened it, I would whisper, fairies are real. It was annoying the first time. It was like, it was one of my favorite dad jokes of the time.
Was it an attempt at classical conditioning?
No, it was just an attempt to be annoying and draw attention to myself, like all the things I do.
That seems right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tell me more about stuffed peppers.
I mean, I just did think it was funny the first few times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you've already talked about Spanish pimientos rellenos and Mexican and Latin American chili rellenos, which can be stuffed usually with like cheese or rice, sometimes meat, and are usually like fried and sauced, but they don't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chili relleno recipe that I used to make a lot, and I don't know why I don't anymore. Where you broil and or you roast and peel some poblano chilies, and then stuff them with like a spicy rice mixture, and then bake them. It's really tasty.
What about all the stuffed peppers around the Mediterranean? So, for instance, I'm thinking like little tiny like piquillo peppers stuffed with like tuna, things like that.
That seems almost is that a canapé? We
it's
didn't
almost
do a canapé
like...
epitode. We did a crudité epitode. I think I'm just now realizing that canapés and crudités are not the same thing, and also that episodes are not the same as epitodes.
Oh my God. Man.
I think an epitode is one of those mythical creatures. It's Nebraska's state mythological animal is the epitode.
Wait, why Nebraska?
First date that came to mind that we didn't already say.
Okay. All right.
I'm having fun on this episode. How about you?
Yeah. My headache went away finally.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. Anyway, so wait a minute, Matthew. You wrote on the agenda that there is a Japanese version of stuffed peppers that you can order at some yakitori places.
I've never actually had this, but I have seen it on a TV show and like I've seen it in like reviews of yakitori places. So I know it is out there. So at any yakitori place, you can get a chicken meatball called tsukune, which is a, it's a seasoned chicken meatball that's skewered and grilled. Mm-hmm. At some yakitori places, you can order either sometimes raw, sometimes cooked green pepper half or quarter and like use that to pull the meatball off the skewer and eat it as a stuffed pepper stuffed with this chicken meatball.
Oh,
sounds pretty good, right?
I love the idea of that.
I did not. I totally forgot it existed until I was working on this episode.
Oh, I love the idea of that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because those Japanese chicken meatballs are very good.
They're so good. So good.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
This episode is brought to you by MasterClass.
Matthew, take a minute and picture that thing that you've always wanted to learn.
All right, I'm picturing the thing.
Okay.
And you know, what if I get lost in the wilderness?
Well, okay. This is the thing?
This is the thing.
Oh, okay. Well, so picture learning it from someone who's literally the best at getting lost in the wilderness.
No.
In the world.
You don't understand, Molly. I want to get found in the wilderness.
Oh, okay.
So, and for that, I turn to Jesse Krebs, who is an internationally recognized expert on wilderness survival. She has a class on MasterClass, and she teaches like the five basic needs. And if you think number one is water, you're wrong. She teaches you how to use a knife, how to use rope, one of your most important tools in the wilderness. I don't think I'm going to get stuck in the wilderness, but if I do, I'm going to be really happy that I took this class on MasterClass.
Yeah, well, MasterClass is where you should go if you don't just want to think about learning something, but you actually want to do it with one-on-one classes with the world's best.
Yeah, if you want to learn singing from Christina Aguilera, if you want to learn shooting threes from Steph Curry, there's only one place in the world to do those things, unless you happen to know those people, which you don't.
Yeah, you don't. And every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
That's 15% off right now at masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
masterclass.com/spilledmilk15.
Well, let's talk about stuffed shells.
Let's do it.
Can I tell you about my stuffed shells last week?
Yes, please. So, oh, wait. Can we go back to peppers for just a second? We didn't mention jalapeno poppers. Obviously, a stuffed pepper.
Oh, my God. Jalapeno peppers. They're the poppers.
Yeah.
They're the epitode of peppers.
They're the epitome of peppers.
Anyway, so you know how... Do you ever get the New York Times cooking newsletter?
I think I do, yeah.
I do. And, you know, it comes very frequently. Mm-hmm. I feel like it comes like 4 times a week. It's overwhelming.
Well, is it because it's like what you should be cooking today, right? Sometimes.
It's usually, I don't think it comes every day, but there's usually like what you should cook this weekend, what you should cook to get through next week. Then right. There's always one on Wednesday.
Because that's food section day.
Yes. The one on Wednesday usually features, so it's usually written by Sam Sifton. Mm-hmm. And usually he will write in there some sort of a, like just a narrative recipe.
Okay.
Just in the text, right?
I like that form of recipe. It sounds like I'm being facetious, but I do actually like it.
No, and he's such a wonderful writer anyway that like even if I don't make it, like it's a pleasure to read. What he described last Wednesday was he talked about like stopping on the way back from somewhere at his local like Italian market or deli or something and picking up some stuffed shells mm-hmm. to take home and cook with bolognese.
Oh, like he bought them already stuffed?
He bought them already nice. Stuffed. And he was like, if you can't buy your shells stuffed, he was like, I would follow this Craig Claiborne recipe he linked to, just like this really simple cheese stuffing for manicotti or mm-hmm. stuffed shells, very much the same as yours. It uses like maybe 2 cups of ricotta, like 2/3 of a cup of Parmesan, an egg, some nutmeg, salt, pepper, mm-hmm. whatever. And then he said, stuff it using a pastry bag. Mm. And I was like, that sounds fiddly.
I did not do that.
Hold on. Okay. And then nestle it into a baking dish with Marcella Hazan's bolognese. Cover it up and bake it at 350 or whatever mm-hmm. until it's all bubbling. Well, so I had never made stuffed shells before.
Oh.
And I happened to have Marcella Hazan's bolognese only has beef in it. And I happened to have ground beef in the freezer.
Okay.
I made bolognese. Actually, this wasn't last Wednesday. This was a couple weeks ago.
Oh, thank you for clarifying. Like, you would have gotten so many emails.
Yeah. Anyway, I made Marcella Hazan's bolognese on a Sunday afternoon so it could just cook like low and slow.
Which Sunday and what time?
Anyway, and then I made the cheese stuffing, which was so easy, right? And it turned out, so when I got married the first time, I registered for all sorts of things that I would never register for now.
Fondue pot.
One of them being a pastry bag and tips. Mm-hmm. I still had it. So I dug out my pastry bag.
You still got it.
I still got it. I dug out my pastry bag with the tip. And I made a complete mess of the kitchen because I've only used a pastry bag like once before.
Sure.
So it was exploding out of like both ends.
Uh-huh. Great.
Anyway, but it was the most delicious thing I've made in a long time. And so I think that we should link to that Craig Claiborne recipe.
For sure.
And to the Marcella Hazan thing. Anyway, how did you stuff your shells if you didn't use a pastry bag? Because I found it hard, even with the pastry bag, to hold the shell open, get the filling inside.
I did have to summon all of my dexterity. I don't know, like I picked the shell up and I used a spoon and tried and like smoosh as much in there as I could with the spoon and then kind of used my thumb to get it into any like lacuna that remained.
I don't think that's the right use of lacuna.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I don't think that's right.
Okay, if we got any lexicographers on staff.
Yeah, anyway, so my feeling is, Matthew, after eating your stuffed shells today, which were delicious, mm-hmm. I think I like stuffed shells with meat sauce.
I mean, meat sauce rarely makes anything worse.
Yeah, anyway.
I will definitely
so
try that next time.
Good. It was so good. I was like, I'm going to make this all the time. I'm now a stuffed shells person.
Yeah, I keep meaning to make the spilled milk bolognese sauce again that we developed for the bolognese sauce
that
episode.
One, it has a bit of gelatin in it, right?
Yeah, and some pureed chicken livers also. Mm. It's a real project, but worth it.
It's so delicious, and I feel like I need somebody to come hold my hand while I deal with the chicken livers because they're difficult for me.
Yeah, so stuffed shells, we have some friends in Alabama who introduced me to the concept that some people call stuffed shells hamsters. Have you ever heard this?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Is it friends other than just, is it people other than just your friends?
I think so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was one of those situations where like she was surprised that we hadn't heard this term. So I...
Why not gerbils?
I don't know. Like that would be smaller shells, I guess.
What about rats?
We should just call them rats, like roasted rats. Wife of the show, Lori, knew that I was going to be making stuffed shells this morning for the episode, and we were talking about how our friends called them hamsters, and so I texted her this morning and said, stop hamster time. I'm a keeper, right? Anyone?
Okay.
So I think maybe the reason I haven't made these in a long time is because I'm ricotta phobic.
Okay.
Like I'm afraid of like the texture and like the like gritty bitties and stuff. Hmm. But this, I enjoyed this very much, so I need to get over it.
Is it the texture raw or the texture cooked or both? Because once cooked, it loses. It's definitely a better texture.
Yeah. So maybe it's that. Maybe it's like how it looks when I'm like scooping it out of the tub.
Yeah.
But while I was preparing for this episode, and looking for what recipe I wanted to make, I was like, hey, maybe there are some stuffed shell recipes that don't use ricotta. And so I searched for like stuffed shells minus ricotta. And what came up was lots of recipes that called for cottage cheese. And I completely lost my shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely would not use cottage cheese.
I don't like cottage cheese. I don't want to put it in anything. I know there's nothing wrong with cottage cheese or liking cottage cheese. It's just not where I'm at in life.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Did you come up with any ones that are not ricotta or cottage cheese based?
Yes, yes. I found one for a stuffed shell stuffed with taco meat and topped with cheddar, which has got to be good. Right?
That sounds fantastic. Yeah. Well, I mean, you're basically making tacos.
Yeah, but with
stuffed shells. Shells.
Whoa, I just had a little epitode in my throat. Okay. Should we talk about stuffed cabbage?
Yes. Oh, my God. Stuffed cabbage. I love stuffed cabbage so much. I'm going to go out there and say that I think it's one of the most comforting foods.
I think so, too. But I've never made it except for this one recipe that we've talked about before and we'll talk about again.
I've only made it once.
Yeah. I like it whenever I come across it. Like, the cabbage gets so, like, juicy and tender.
I want somebody, preferably somebody old with, like, jiggly arm skin to make it for me.
Oh, yeah. Like Jell-O Jigglers style?
No, just like, you know, a lady who also, like, stretches her own strudel, like, over the table.
You
like,
know she stretches her own strudel.
No, I think what I'm saying here is, so I had a Polish grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And she was not well by the time I was like old enough
sure.
to be aware of my grandmother. In fact, I was terrified to visit her in the nursing home and I like cowered out in the hallway. I'm a highly sensitive
yeah.
kind of creature.
Is it
anyway, but she totally would have made all those like great, you know, Eastern European old lady foods.
Oh, literally God. All of my ancestors would have been making this all the time.
I feel sad that I did not get to
enjoy
that.
Is it in Poland where stuffed cabbage is...
also sad for her because the end of her life was shitty, but, you know.
Okay.
Okay. I just wanted
to say
that.
Is it in Poland where... No, that's okay. Is it in Poland where stuffed cabbage is called galumpkis or galumpkis?
I'm not sure.
Because I think so, and it's very fun to say.
Which is a perfect name for it. It's perfect. Okay, go on. Wait a minute. So tell me about the stuffed cabbage you've made.
Oh, so I've made the Tamas and Day Lewis recipe for stuffed cabbage in the true style, T-R-O-O.
What is true?
I think it's a place in...
Somewhere in the UK?
No. Somewhere in Europe, I think.
Okay.
Let's pause and look this up.
Okay.
True, T-R-O-O, or true, is a commune in central Val de Loire, France.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Assuming that's the same, maybe there's more than one, but I assume that's the one. Cause it's...
Okay, hold on. So tell me about the stuffed cabbages in the true style.
Okay, this is one of the best recipes of all time. I haven't made it in too long. I need to do it. You blanch some cabbage, I believe. You then, in a casserole, layer a layer of cabbage, a layer of sausage, a layer of cabbage, a layer of sausage, and another layer of cabbage. I don't remember how many layers exactly, but it's cabbage on the bottom, cabbage on the top.
Okay.
And then you cover it and bake it for like 3 hours. And
oh my
everything
gosh.
Just melts together.
Is there anything else?
No, that's it. Those are the only ingredients.
Will you post this recipe? Because this sounds remarkable.
Yes, we need to figure out Producer Abby, we need to figure out a better way to like make sure people can find. I mean, it'll be in the show notes, so you can like look in your podcast player, and there'll be a link to that recipe, which I think is online. But it's we made it a little harder to find the actual episode page on the web.
I think we'll that most people are just using their podcast apps.
I think people are just using their apps.
Yeah. Okay, well, the stuffed cabbage I made, I think that it was possibly from All About Braising by Molly Stevens, so, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it was a pretty classic one where you're branching the cabbage leaves.
Yes.
You're blanching the cabbage leaves, stuffing them with a mixture of meat and other things, and then rolling them up and nestling them into a dish with like tomato sauce. Yep. Maybe it wasn't from Molly Stevens. I'm not sure.
I mean, it seems plausible that it could be.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that most of us, when we think about stuffed cabbage, think of like a Eastern European, like rolled, like little burrito.
Yes. And those are great.
I always think about Eastern European burritos.
Yeah. Stuffed cabbage, I learned, probably dates back about 2,000 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Is it?
I think it is. Okay.
All right.
Let's talk about other stuffed things.
Okay. Stuffed mushrooms.
Stuffed mushrooms. So do people, do you remember when portobello mushrooms first came on the market?
I do.
Are people still like into portobello mushrooms, and do people still want to stuff them with stuff, or do people just tend to stuff creminis?
I definitely saw less stuffed portobello than I anticipated when I went out looking for recipes. I went out like into town.
Yeah.
I was wearing I had a little reporter's notepad.
Have you ever read the book Alice Let's Eat by Calvin Trillin?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you remember there's an essay in there about what he referred to and what seems kind of a term we don't use anymore, continental food?
Oh, yes, continental cuisine.
Yes. Yes. And he talks about
La Maison de la Casa House.
Yeah.
That was his made up continental cuisine restaurant.
And he talks about all these dishes that are stuffed with things and then with like a cream sauce over it. So like a stuffed chicken breast with a cream sauce, yep. This all being continental food. And he coins a term for these particular dishes, and he calls them stuff with heavy.
Yes, I did remember that.
I thought that was the funniest thing I'd ever read when I first read it like 13 years ago.
Yeah, it's great.
Stuff with heavy.
But stuffed mushrooms can be like a, you know, a canapé size thing.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Usually done with creminis. Yes. I think of them being done with a brown mushroom.
And like, I feel like this is something that I really want to eat hot. So if it's been like going around on it or like sitting on a tray. I was going to say like going around on a tray, which implied that I'm going to a lot of parties where people are like bringing appetizers around on a tray.
It's not let's be clear. Matthew's not going to a lot of parties where there are past hors d'oeuvres, Matthew. That's what those are called. Yes. Past hors d'oeuvres.
No, I only do future hors d'oeuvres.
You only do stationary hors d'oeuvres.
I like if the hors d'oeuvre starts to move, I'm out of there. Okay, but so like this is something that I think is very tasty if it's hot, but if it like cools to room temperature, it kind of invokes my like childhood phobia of room temperature foods, which maybe we haven't talked about before. I don't know.
I'm not sure we've talked about that. Can you give me some examples of other room temperature foods that are frightening to you?
Like sandwiches.
Is it a temperature issue?
It's a temperature issue.
Are you sure?
What do you mean, am I sure?
So if you're presented with a hot sandwich.
I love a hot sandwich.
Really?
This is something that has waned considerably over time.
You and Ash should hang out. So Ash is a real sandwich person, and Ash loves hot sandwiches, which to me just wind up smelling like airplane food.
Oh, I love hot sandwiches.
I cannot.
Paninis.
I don't like hot sandwiches. I don't.
Toasted subs.
No, absolutely not.
Those are the only two things I can think of. Like hot pastrami.
Yeah, Ash will frequently stop somewhere and get a hot sandwich, and I don't like the smell of it.
But there are lots of foods that don't smell great.
That's true.
Egg salad, for example.
Oh, yeah, big time. Okay, hold on. Let's talk about other stuffed things. God, this episode is long.
Okay, the last one. No, this is the last one I was able to come up with, which is stuffed crust pizza. Although, I feel like at the end we should just like kind of riff and try putting stuffed before other things and just see if anything sticks.
Sure.
Okay. So stuffed crust pizza originated at Pizza Hut in 1995, which is the same year that Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness came out, the Smashing Pumpkins album, an album that I consider the musical equivalent of stuffed crust pizza.
How long did you work on that joke?
Long, yeah, like too long.
Tell me what you mean.
Well, like, it's delicious, of course, but if you try and consume the whole thing at once, like, you'll just end up kind of overloaded and sad.
It'll fill you with infinite sadness?
Maybe.
Are there, wow, so wait, that album, what, tell me, what are some songs that are on that album?
Oh, like? Tonight, Bullet with Butterfly Wings.
Yeah. It's an intense album.
Yeah, I mean, I love that album, but it's very long.
Oh, it's long?
It's a double album. It's like 72 minutes long.
I didn't realize that. I never owned it.
Oh, yeah. I still listen to it frequently because I can't grow up, I guess.
I never got that into Smashing Pumpkins. I was more of like a Alice in Chains. Mm-hmm.
Soundgarden?
Like, no, I did not like Soundgarden. There's something about Soundgarden that, like, I love Chris Cornell. As you know, I love Temple of the Dog.
Yeah.
But there's something about the sound of Soundgarden that makes me feel anxious. Like, there's something about it I do not care for.
Well, I mean, yeah, they're trying to, like establish a pretty brutal level of musical tension, I think.
But I can listen to, like, Rage Against the Machine and not and just feel, like, swept up in it and angry and stuff.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. This sounds like a job for one of those podcasts that takes apart a song.
Hey, I think I know one of those.
No, my podcast doesn't really do that.
But your podcast, like, muses on music.
That's true. Okay, we will definitely on Hidden Jukebox, one of my other podcasts, we'll definitely do a Soundgarden and a Rage Against the Machine at some point.
Oh, great.
It's a podcast about 90s music, and those are 90s music.
Those are 90s music.
Mm-hmm. Back when the Bulls were on parade constantly.
Okay. All right. Okay. So go on.
Hot
dog stuffed crust.
Right. So they've tried stuffing the crust of pizza with various different things. The only one that really stuck was cheese. Mm-hmm. And you can still buy cheese stuffed crust pizza. It's mostly a frozen pizza thing now, I think. Mm-hmm. I bought a DiGiorno cheese stuffed crust pizza that advertised on the box over 2.5 feet of cheese in the crust. And I did the math. And I think it's true.
Do you think it's like individual shreds of cheese laid out?
No, I had that thought too, but no, I think the actual circumference of the pizza is over 2.5 feet.
Oh, okay.
Because like the diameter of the pizza is like 10 inches maybe.
And so—
No, it's gotta be more than that,
so
like 12 inches.
So the circumference is—
No, 10 inches would work.
What's that ratio?
Well, it's the diameter times pi. So if it was a 10-inch diameter, that would make it like 31 inch circumference, which is like over 2.5 feet.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Okay. Stuff you should know. Pizza Hut in particular has done hot dog stuffed crust pizza in various markets outside the U.S. For some reason, as far as I could tell, this was never marketed in the U.S., even though it seems like it would work, right? I mean, it doesn't sound good to me, but I think...
It just sounds like a gimmick.
Yeah, of course. So there's also I've seen sauce-stuffed crust pizza, which I've had, and it's kind of good.
Oh, cool. I feel like that could be, like, really hot.
It could be really hot, yes.
Temperature hot.
I think maybe like, by the time you eat the pizza down to the crust, it's cooled down enough.
Oh, that's a good point.
But probably, I haven't seen it recently, and probably it was because of lawsuits. Oh, Pizza Hut Australia made a pizza with a crust stuffed with miniature meat pies. Don't know what that means.
Humans are endlessly inventive.
Yeah. Oh, so by the way, we're not going to be eating any of that stuffed crust pizza, because if I tried to bake it now, like, it would be ready like an hour from now.
I don't want it.
Okay.
Okay, wait. Okay, let's try other stuffed things.
Okay, stuffed cookies.
I think people have done that.
Yeah.
Stuffed ice cream.
Interesting. Well, like the Ben and Jerry's with the core.
Oh,
that's kind of stuffed.
That
ice
is
cream.
Kind of stuffed. Yeah. Okay. Stuffed apples. That's kind of like baked apples that you put stuff in the middle of.
Yeah. Okay. I think. Okay.
Stuffed, all right. Stuffed
muffins. Oh,
like, the ones like with like the frosting inside.
Exactly.
Yes. Stuffed carrots.
Nope. we finally found out that can't be done.
Stuffed radishes.
I think that could work. Like, there are some pretty big radishes.
What if you hollowed out a radish with some sort of special coring device?
Like a Dremel.
And then filled it with, like, a, you know, like some sort of, like, a Boursin mixture. I'm into that.
Yeah, I think that, like, wait, would it be raw?
But or... then you'd have to take it to a party where there were past hors d'oeuvres, and then you'd have to leave.
I just remembered. That's right. Frequently, I will go to a party with some hors d'oeuvres. I pass them and then immediately run away. I mean, actually, that would be kind of the best case scenario for like me coming to your party, because you would get free food and you wouldn't have to deal with my jackanapes. Is that the word I said earlier? You get my canapes without my jackanapes.
You panicade.
Sorry, I panicated right there. Stuffed French toast. That's a thing I've had.
Yes, that's a thing.
Lori, wanted me to be sure to
stuffed
mention
burgers.
Yeah,
yeah,
like a Juicy Lucy.
That.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Wife of the show, Lori, wanted me to be sure to mention that the deviled egg recipe that she and her family have been making for decades is in a...
Oh, wait. We're talking about deviled eggs?
Better Homes and Gardens Junior Cookbook. The reason only is because in this Better Homes and Gardens Junior Cookbook for beginning cooks of all ages, published in 1972, the deviled egg recipe is called stuffed eggs. And my theory on that was that the publisher didn't want to expose teenagers who would be reading this book to the devil.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay, stuffed noodles. Well, that's ravioli.
Yeah, like manicotti ravioli.
What if you took a bucatini and stuffed it?
I was just going to say the same thing.
Okay. Wow, that sounds fun.
All right, we're not going to do better than that.
Okay. All right.
You
well,
need like a hypodermic needle, right?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. So anyway, you found us already.
Yeah.
You can find us on all kinds of podcast platforms.
Please leave us a review. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast. That's the best way to let us know which stuffed foods that we forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Spilledmilkpodcast.com. Look in the show notes for the recipe links, like the stuffed cabbage in the true style, assuming that recipe is online. Our producer is Abby Circatella.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Facebook.
Yeah.
Did you already tell them
I
that?
I did.
Oh, whoops.
Instagram at Spilled Milk Podcast. I think I posted something within the last 2 months.
I think you did.
Yeah.
Well, soon. Hold on. Wait, when is this airing? Soon, we're going on our corporate retreat. So, check in next week, I think, and you'll see that we might be posting some stuff from our corporate retreat.
Yes, and producer Abby is coming on the corporate retreat with us, and she will force us to Instagram.
She will. Okay.
And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
Stop rustling your papers.
Thank you for listening to this episode.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
I'm Molly.
Oh. Oh, no.
Oh, God, here we go again.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.